Thank you, Chris. Yeah, so as Chris said, I've been struggling with my voice a lot the last couple of days. This isn't coffee, I promise, it's honey and lemon. I've been downing Vocal Zone, so hopefully it will sustain for the next 15 or so minutes, but bear with me if I sound a bit croaky. So today is Remembrance Sunday. And I always come to Remembrance Sunday and sit to the point at which I begin to think and pray about what to say in the sermon and find myself stalling. Really, really humbled. And every year, the question that comes to mind is, what right do I have to preach on Remembrance Sunday? I have never lived through a war. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what gunfire sounds like outside of Hollywood movies. I have never feared for my life at the hands of another. And my children are growing up in peace and security. I have very little business speaking on such a vitally important day in our nation's history. I'll come back to that in a moment. But a little aside, because as I was praying and thinking about what to say tonight, a memory came back to me. I went to a school in South Wales called Bishop Gore, and it's a place with a rich educational history. You may be familiar with the poet Dylan Thomas, or you may not be outside of Wales, but a wonderful poet wrote Under Milkwood. He was educated there, and it's the kind of school that you go in and the foyer has got wood panelling on the walls, and each and every facet is covered with black and white photos of schoolboys. It's an ex-grammar school, and there are these beautiful atmospheric images of boys through the years. It's the kind of place where you can be taken back to the scene in Dead Poets Society where Robin Williams was talking to the characters in the black and white pictures, rich with history. As you go through the main doors, directly opposite you is a huge, polished hall, and either side of those double doors is the wood panelling with a list, a long, long list of names on either side. And for many, many, many years, I walked past those names, etched in gold, without taking the time to stop and read them. They were the names of those who were fallen in the First World Wars. There was one remembrance service where I filed into the hall for our annual assembly, and I went in with my three dear friends. There was Chris Bradshaw. He went by the name Oddbod. Warm, loving, hugely brilliant sense of humour, very, very funny. He developed a persona as the class clown. He embraced his individuality, and it was a joy to know him. There was Freddie Mills, and Freddie was family to me. He was my surrogate baby brother. He was the really cool one. He was the cool kid that everybody really wanted to know and wanted to be close to. He was really funny and popular, and he would come back to my house for food after school, and we would hang out and beat each other up, and he truly was like a brother to me. My first taste of freedom was camping in my back garden with Freddie when I was a teenager. When a particularly vicious girl in school decided that she was going to bully me, it was Freddie who put a stop to it. And I love him to this day. And then there was Dan Jenkins. Dan was my first love. I fell in love with him when I was 11 years old, and he was playing Mike TV in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory play. And I was in love with him all the way through to the age of 16, totally besotted. He was and is an actor, a surfer, and he radiated life and charm and looks. So we all went into this assembly together, the four of us, and we shuffled into our seats and we sighed and slumped. Yet another dull remembrance service. Yet another reminder of tyranny gone past that meant nothing to us. Collective yawn. But not this year. This year was chilling, and I will never forget it. We shuffled into our seats and tried to behave, tried not to talk to one another, and our new head teacher processed out in his gowns. He was a formal man. But this time he didn't begin by shuffling papers. He didn't announce any hymns. No heads were bowed in prayer. He simply said this: "Would all the boys aged 16 and above stand, please?" My friends and brothers around me stood. Oddbod, Freddie, and Dan. And Mr. White said, "Were this 1945, the very great likelihood is that you would have all gone off to war and you would be dead, killed in action. Now remain standing, please, for 2 minutes of silence." The silence was absolutely spellbinding. I looked up at my dear, beloved friends, so full of youth and life and vitality, and it was utterly inconceivable to me that they could ever die. So much promise. The tears filled my eyes, and I wasn't the only one. Most of the teachers were dabbing their faces. I didn't get it. I couldn't get my head around it, and I still can't to this day. I'm one of the many who cannot, and lucky us. To think on their sacrifice is beyond my comprehension. After 2 minutes, Mr. White said, "Thank you. You may file out to your lessons." And we filed out in complete silence. And we filed past the names. And we stopped. Each and every one of us stopped and took time to look on those names. And every single one of us was late to our class that day. Today we choose to remember. We gather together and we choose collectively not to forget, to go on remembering for all time. Because as I stroll down the street, if I'm popping into town of a day, the greatest concern for the most part on my mind is, did I leave the oven on? Did I leave my hair straighteners on? What am I going to make my kids for tea tonight? Are they eating enough organic food? The answer of which is no. But these are the greatest concerns in my world on most days. And for most of us, our lives will never come close to the horror of those who have truly experienced war. Lives not only lost, but irrevocably altered. Because you cannot unsee what you have seen. You cannot pretend you have not experienced something which you have lived through. I want to pick up on a particular part of our reading. "Indeed, they cannot die anymore. They are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. The dead are raised. Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as of the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive." We believe that Jesus raised the dead. Moses, looking back, is looking back on the heroes who have gone before him. He is taking time to acknowledge Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And today we are looking back on our heroes who have gone before us, those who have done heroic acts on our behalf, those who have sacrificed themselves. Self-sacrifice in a way that most of us will never have to dream of. But self-sacrifice is, of course, at the heart of Christian living. Self-sacrifice for the good of others, which, of course, leads us to true life. So what qualifies me to speak on Remembrance Sunday? Simply this. My life has been saved by one who died for me. I know what it is to be free because of the death of another for me. I live free because of Jesus who took my punishment. But our story doesn't stop there. The Christian story does not stop there. Our reading tonight looks on the resurrection life of Christ and reminds us that death is not the end. The Jews believed that God raised all of Israel, raised all of Israel to a new heavens and a new earth. Now, our modern concept of heaven has become quite far removed from the biblical concept of heaven. We like to think of fluffy clouds and cherubs and harps and a certain brand of soft cheese, but that's not the new heaven and the new earth that we read about in Scripture. The new earth is one that does not know pain, that does not know suffering, that does not know grief. If there was one word we could use to sum up the whole of the Christian faith, it would be hope. We have hope in Christ. We have hope in that place, the place that doesn't know war, the place that is ruled by the Prince of Peace. There is hope in the Christian life, and all in Christ are raised to life, are raised to unity with Him for all eternity. And we come together tonight to grieve the wrongs that have happened and those who have fallen for us. We come together to honor the dead. And perhaps you have a personal story of someone you know was cut down too soon. We know this. We live in sure and certain hope that in Christ, death is not the end. Death, where is your sting? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. There is hope in Christ, who rose victorious. And in rising, the atrocity of premature death was proved wrong. The guardians of the temple that excluded sinners were proved wrong. The religious elite were proved wrong. Jesus didn't just assure his people of life after death, he did it. He rose again. We're going to stand in a moment and remember together and grieve together. But we're going to do so with the quiet confidence that in the face of the horror of war, be that a physical war happening between nations or a war that is a personal battle within us, with the confidence that Jesus has conquered death and that this is not the end. So we're going to pay our respects with 2 minutes of silence. That will lead straight into a montage of images. And just to let you know, for some of our younger viewers, one or two of those images are quite disturbing, so you might want to bear that in mind. And the last post will play. We'll make space and time to give thanks for all who sacrificed themselves for us. And if you will indulge me, the very first image that comes up is that of four young men. The one on the far right with the pipe is my grandfather. The other three are his brothers and a cousin, I believe. He was the only one to come home from the war, which is why I'm here today. After we have had our act of remembrance, we will come to our time of sharing communion, which in itself is another act of remembrance, as we think on Christ's body broken for us and his blood shed for us, life poured out that we might live. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for us, that you who were without sin gave it all up that we might live. Today we remember before you all who have fallen in wars gone by. And we give you thanks for them and the sacrifice they made for us. We continue to pray for those who are trapped by war today. And we pray for all who grieve loved ones cut down too soon. We pray for peace and for the honor of your name, Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. Amen. Please do stand if you're able, and we will observe 2 minutes of silence.
Do please take